Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin El-Hassan. I'm joined, as always, by Trayvon Edwards, Juju Gotti, Jason Madison, John Gervais, and Chase Cash. We got a hell of a show for you guys today. We're going to talk about a lot. We're going to talk about a lot of hoops today. I'm going to tell you, it's the playoffs are on, so we are in full throttle. But first, patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're locked in. Make sure you are getting all the extra content, the Cinephobe special editions, the watch-alongs, the Discord, the OG podcast, so much more. Cinephobe, I already said Cinephobe watch-alongs. You got it. Count the Dings. Patreon.com/countthedings. Stay locked in. Make sure you are a part of that. All right, let's get started.
Speaking across the town, the Clippers. Right. The Clippers has a new show coming out called Clipped. Jerv, can you pull the cast up, bro?
No, where's Paul, though?
I've been laughing so hard. So hard about, like, this.
Why is it so hard to cast? Why is it so hard to cast NBA players?
No, because you need people who are somewhat
tall. Who actually can act.
By the way, I thought Winning Time did a great job of casting.
Yeah, they did.
They killed it. But these niggas right here, when I saw the nigga from P-Valley is playing Chris Paul, I fucking die.
Bro, they got the... Yo, the director? Playing Chris Paul had me screaming Bright. Laughing, bro. No,
who's that nigga?
I don't know how they got that nigga to beat Chris Paul, bro.
That's
the crazy thing. Look at this nigga, Glenn Big Baby Davis, nigga. That's going to be Glenn Big Baby Davis. Nigga. Oh, my God.
Look, man. Get your money, brother. Jordan. What's his name?
Jock.
No, but this is the thing. Jock. Who was that supposed to be? Go back.
JJ Reddick.
No way.
Hold on, Jerv, don't click nothing. Jerv, don't click nothing yet. The people that haven't even been featured, let's see. Nigga, they got Draymond in there for 3 episodes. Hold on, bro. This is shit I ain't even seen.
Oh, right. Draymond.
Down there, nigga.
Draymond is...
David,
that's Draymond.
I mean, we gotta see him made up though. I'm sure he ain't looking like that.
Nigga too handsome.
Nigerian Draymond.
Nigga said that he too handsome.
That's the Nigerian scammer, Draymond.
Hey, let's see Tyronn Lue. Click Mike Miller.
Let's see Tyrone.
They should have had Mike Pagan.
Nah. Ain't no way.
Come on,
yeah.
Man.
They should have had Mike Pagan.
Somebody, like, hey.
What's the Mike nigga that used to hoop on the Wizards, man? Mike Scott. He looked like Mike Scott. Yeah.
Right.
Nah, they definitely
look like a goddamn give hobbit.
Give me someone light skin. Like, Ty Lue, give me someone light skin.
Look at Jared Dudley, bro.
Yeah, I want to see
Click Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley.
Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley.
Jordan Sweeney. Right
there. Okay.
Niggas with it right there, nigga.
That's a nigga from
that's Jared
BML.
Dudley.
That nigga's on BML.
Bro, they go hit that nigga with
that
ball.
Nigga from BML.
You been watching?
Bro, I've been watching that shit. Hell yeah, he sounds just like a Cali nigga in BML. I'm like, how's this Cali nigga from Atlanta, bro?
Okay.
Hey, did y'all see the clip from BML where the nigga Meech did the kick jump on the nigga?
That nigga be down. That nigga be downloading his
his Chris Paul. Well, we already knew Chris Paul.
How did this nigga get to be Chris Paul, bro?
Dog,
you know, Blake.
Hey, Elgin Baylor.
Elgin Baylor.
Damn, that nigga's damn near white.
Yeah, bro, that nigga sick.
That's
yep, for 2-2. All
right. Yeah.
From what?
Keep going. Let's wait.
Which one?
Who else?
Oh, from Amen. From Amen.
Oh,
Matt Barnes is Serena
Jackson.
Oh,
they
Jackson.
Got Matt Barnes.
Oh,
he's the best
bro,
one.
I'm not mad at this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good casting. I mean, I feel like they got the main two right. Right? Like, I feel like as Donald Sterling, Norris Fishburne as Doc. I feel like them two.
I love how they said, Lawrence Fishburne, you can play Doc. All right, cool. Yo, you want to lose weight for this role? Nah, I'm good.
Nah.
Everyone's like, why is Doc so fat? I'm like, Doc's not fat. That's just...
JJ Redick is hilarious. Look at this. Yeah.
I mean, I can see them pulling that off, though.
Yo, let me ask y'all this.
Like he cannot shoot basketball.
So let me ask y'all this. If someone was making a movie that involved a portion, like, you're not about your life, but you would be one of the characters in there, who would y'all want to be you, to play you, basically?
Shit, when I had hair, I probably would have had Lance Gross. But
Meet the Browns or whatever.
Yeah, but now that I'm bald, probably like a what? Nigga like Morris Chestnut or some bullshit.
This nigga Morris.
Out of here, yo.
That nigga said Morris Chestnut.
I bet it. At least.
I've never seen Jason laugh.
Hey,
you done broke my dog.
Hey, or a nigga to say that with full confidence. That's crazy.
Hey, because I want to leave. I want at least if you watching it, I want to ask Hose. Hose go when I come on the screen.
Hey man, no,
you have a gang of 60-year-olds say that.
Hey,
I would have Denzel's son play me. Denzel's son.
I thought this nigga was about to say Denzel. I was about to say, get the fuck out of here.
You got to end the segment.
Denzel. He did say Denzel. You got to take him out still, bro.
If Trey get more Chestnut, I'm
who you got, Jeffrey Wright?
That's my man from
Westworld.
Westworld. Yeah, I might as well. I'm old. I'm washed. Fuck it, why not?
Yeah, yeah, that's actually a good casting. That's a good casting.
But you know what's crazy, Jer? The nigga would actually win an award playing you, though. Like, the nigga, he'd probably take the role. He'd take the role too serious and just, like, just do it all. Like, bro, might really win.
And now I have all the hoes, my nigga, because now they fucking see my story, my G. Like, I'm outside. It's a win-win.
We need to do an AI where we put all these niggas' faces on our face.
Trey, I mean, my man would get deep in the role, start watching Sixer games and cheering after every basket. Just, yes, I got to get into character.
I want Robert Downey Jr. to go blackface and play me. So that should just steal the show.
Said blackface.
Hey, you know one of the coldest things? I remember I heard this nigga Kanye say he wanted to have Danny McBride play him in the movie. I was like, that shit would be hilarious. Like, just to like switch it up, like if a nigga had like, if Robert Pattinson played a meme or some shit,
like it'd be basically like, the opposite of what happened in Atlanta, where they had a black dude play Bieber,
right?
Right, like just
I don't know why. Lakeith Stanfield? I don't know.
That's a funny ass. My nigga Lakeith would be Lakeith trying to be a meme. He'd probably go all in too. He'd go all in. He another nigga that'd go all the way in. When you pick a serious ass nigga to play your life, you'll be like, all right, my nigga, you could dial back a little bit. Nigga go dial. He the type of nigga that'll be shadowing you and start talking like you. Start just trying to do the everything, the habits. Like, bro, nigga, you know, all right, you can take, you can get a beat right like, here. Leave me alone, bro.
How's that release go? How's that release go? Let me.
Practice. Joe, what's a part in your movie if there was a.
Well, you got to let Chase
okay, go.
Go
ahead, Chase. Go ahead, Chase. Yeah.
I don't know who would do mine. I really don't know. Y'all have to recommend. I don't know. I don't know who would be chasing cash in a movie, man.
I'm gonna thank somebody. What's that nigga from Billions? That white nigga.
this nigga's still that white nigga.
No, this nigga's
like
shit.
Eight white niggas in Billions. The whole cast of Billions is white
niggas. I'm talking about Charles.
Oh, Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti. I can tell my daughter to steal the show, man. You gotta get some real deal actors to play us, man.
Right, my nigga. Right. My nigga Chuck Rose, that's crazy. Yeah, Chuck Rose. That's crazy.
Yo, if you had a movie about your life, what scene would you cut out?
Oh, what scene would I cut out?
I'm cutting out. I already know what I'm cutting out. That teaching shit where I tore my meniscus, I'm cutting it out.
That's a highlight of the movie. You can't cut that shit out, man.
I'm cutting it out. I'm cutting it out for sure. Like, that shit can't be in there, bro.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, Noodle, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise, but maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal, ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Go ahead.
I'm going to have to tie me and my cousin got jumped by like 13 niggas.
So that's got to be one of the main scenes, though. That's got to be.
I got jumped a couple years ago, but I defended myself. Me and my partners, I defended myself. So I'm kind of proud of that moment. I did well, but I did get cut in eighth grade. So I think I'm going to have to cut that out. I got cut from the basketball team in eighth grade. I can't put that in there. I got to take that out.
Yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
You made me not feel too bad, Chase. I'm definitely cutting out when I got cut from the basketball team in high school. We don't need to see that part of the story.
I thought Jervin was gonna say I would cut every single Sixers playoff run since like 2001.
I would take out the time I got cut by this nigga in the damn club. He sliced my goddamn arm. Right. I had to get that shit glued together and everything. Cuts.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Well, I think I actually have the only serious one. And it's a crazy bombshell. I will cut out the time I shit on myself in high school.
What?
You know what? In high school.
Say what? Hold on. Clear the lane.
Thank you, Moody little ass boy.
No. Put the speaker back on that nigga. What you doing?
Bring him up to the stage.
Yeah.
The show's yours.
Yeah. I was in ninth grade. Niggas was running a mile. Niggas had to go to the bathroom. I think the bathroom by the PE lockers was locked. And by the time I made it to the bathroom in the main building, that shit was coming out.
So you shitted on yourself in a tracksuit.
It's in shorts. You know when you PE, it's shorts. You have PE shorts.
Did it go down your leg?
No. It was just like literally on the floor in the bathroom. Like I literally walked in the bathroom and it was like there. You feel me? Like
you shat on the floor?
Through the clothes.
So you had shitty clothes and you had to clean shit up off the floor.
Luckily, it was my PE outfit, so I still had my regular clothes.
You was 15.
I was 14. I think I was 14. Oh. Yeah, so I still had my regular clothes in my PE locker, but. Yeah, I had to get rid of my underwear.
You ain't take a shower though, did you? You just.
Oh yeah, I went to the PE. That was the first and only time I ever used the PE showers, bro. I never took showers.
Bro. You took a shower for real, bro.
That's the only time. Niggas don't believe it. That's the only time.
No, you didn't take no shower back then.
You can't say believe it. You took a shower.
Hey, the sink, nigga, and went to class.
He for sure tried to play it off like that wasn't him too in class.
It was a terrible day. It was a but now obviously now it's in my movie. I never even told nobody, but like you know what I'm saying.
That nigga just too serious.
Did anyone at school ever know or find out or ask questions or none?
I have my one white homie Greg knew and he used to clown me about it. But other than that,
shitty ass Jason.
The reason why I asked Jason is because I was in the second grade, I guess I was just a dickhead. I still don't know why I did it. I shat in the urinal, and then. Like I came back to class, like nothing happened, and then like the school.
Why was you shitting in the urinal?
I don't know.
First of all,
that's crazy. How second grade.
In a urinal?
Yeah, it's real easy. There was nobody in the bathroom.
Badass kid.
When you're second grade, man, like grade school,
they like low.
Them low ass urinals. Yep. So like right. I looked around, ain't nobody there. I went, took the dump, got up, walked out, right, and then like. Literally went about my day, and I want to say like two periods later, there was like the announcement over the PA, like, "Hey man, They had a whole like search, like of who the nigga that did that shit. And I had to sit there and be like, wow, who would do such a thing? Who would do such a thing?
What type of animal?
Bruh, can you imagine somebody walking in mid, you doing that shit and locking eyes with you, bro?
Oh my God.
You would have been, they would have sent you to the alternative school.
They would hey, put that nigga on the ban list for sure. Bro, like, I think that's the crazy thing about it, bro. Like, that shit happened to me at fucking Universal Studios, dog. I peed on myself, dog. I was pissed.
Oh, shit.
And I was wearing I was wearing nylon sweats, my nigga. Like, when they, this shit was.
So wait, how old was you?
I was 9. But this is the thing, like, they was doing they wouldn't let you go unless you had a buddy. They was doing buddy system then. This is when the shit was starting to get crazy where niggas was stealing kids and shit. So I'm telling the chaperone, like, nigga, I gotta pee. Like, come on. But we're like almost at the front of the line to get on the ride. And this nigga, like, we not about to get out of line for you to pee. So I just stood there, nigga, and just pee. Niggas is like, and I'm so embarrassed because the shit just like just
going down your leg.
Trey, I would run away.
Civil rights people.
I feel like it's harder to piss on yourself though, because like I would just go, nigga, in the bushes. Bruh. Like, why are you just in the bushes?
A nigga did a civil rights.
You took your stand.
Like, no, you gotta think about it. You know how you like go into the ride and then you gotta go all these little corners and little turns and shit, right?
Right.
The fucking size of the amusement park is just intimidating in itself as a 9-year-old. Like, a nigga just about to just, like, ain't no cell phone, nigga, or no tracker, nigga. I leave. Yeah. I am gone, nigga. They're going to have to go directory, like, hey, are you looking for, like, this kid or whatever? Like, niggas
have to. It looks like Morris Chestnut.
And that's the crazy thing. I'll probably get my ass beat. Even more for causing that hysteria if my grandma found out that the niggas at the park was looking for me. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just more so stressed out because I was pissed, right? Literally. So I get on the bus, nigga. Don't nobody want to sit by me, clearly. Don't nobody. Like, it's just a lot of shit going on. Niggas gave me some. Here's another thing. They had some uniform pants that I had to put on to swap for the ride home. I'm like literally mad. Just so mad at this fucking teacher, dog. Like, I'm like, bro, I'm never speaking to this nigga for the rest of my life. Couldn't do it. But long story short, breaking news, Candace Parker has announced her retirement from the WNBA after 16 seasons.
Man.
Salute to the legend.
Legend.
Salute.
Trey, you wanna talk about the Taylor made getting cease and desisted with the
Hold on. Before we leave basketball, my bad. Before we leave basketball, go. I just wanna say, anybody out there who get the first pick or whoever, I'm drafting Bronny first just because your name is now in every conversation and your name is in every hat. You finna make $1 billion on merch and now LeBron gonna come to you. You like, no matter what he do the first couple of weeks, he gonna have to eventually come to you. So if you the Orlando Magic or you the whoever the hell got the first pick, draft Bronny, bro. It's gonna change the whole organization. Liquidly. My bad.
Church. For sure. But no, I was just gonna say, like, what y'all think about the whole? I didn't know the Tupac's estate was owned by some white people. Like,
I knew that.
Is it?
Yeah, damn. A white couple. Yeah,
yeah.
What?
How did
that happen?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Let me explain this. I will say this: that changes my stance on this considerably. Because I thought it was like the family. And if the family didn't like him, like, man, you got to take that shit down. Now you tell me some white folk, man, fuck that shit, Trey.
Well, it's both. He got a brother, Mo Preem, who said he didn't fuck with it. So his brother didn't fuck with it. All right. And then the white people who own the estate, they obviously didn't fuck with it or whoever. But I don't know if it's like there's a representative that gets in contact with them that kind of tells them like, hey, like, you know, and they're just kind of like, we the ones who have the paperwork on it. Or if they're the ones who put their opinion forth. I'm not really sure how that whole process works.
Well, it's going to be tough because I don't even know if Drake monetized the record.
No, he didn't.
But he knew it was tricky, though. And, like, that's the whole thing. Like, it was funny. You feel me? Like, Kendrick, we need you. Like, we all said, you know, the joke was funny. We get it. But, like, at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day, like, you didn't know Tupac. you had no relationship with this man or his estate or anything that he's done before. You know what I'm saying? You bought his ring or whatever. And it's like, the nigga's not here. So for you to take somebody's voice that's not here and to use it in a humorous way to diss somebody who has a relationship with the estate, you know what I'm saying? And has spoke about this man in like reverence, like it gets very, very tricky. You feel me? So it's like your joke is funny, but we not rocking. And my last thing on that is we not rocking, but, and I love Snoop Dogg, but
I mean, we did this before. The West all ain't united.
What happened with Snoop?
What happened with Snoop Dogg? And before you can monetize your Instagram and your Twitter. Yep. So he posted them things on Twitter. So under whatever the algorithm
and Instagram,
they do have a client. Yeah.
There's like a, it's not directly monetized, but it's like, yeah, bro, you are getting love and, you know what I'm saying?
Looks
and likes are off of this shit. So
analytics, yeah.
Exactly.
So before we jump to Snoop Dogg, I just wanted to say how Tom Wally took over the role of the estate, right? So he took over after Tupac's mom died in 2016. But back in 1989, he was working for Interscope and had signed Tupac, and that's how he ended up getting it, right? But in 2022, Tupac's sister and the Shakur Foundation has filed a lawsuit against Wally. So he's doing some tricky shit and has been alleged for embezzling millions. So, of course, it's a money play at the end of the day. So he like, shit, if anybody going to eat off of it, it's going to be me. And if I can't eat off of it, take that shit down. It's a business. Snoop Dogg shared the diss on his stories, on his Instagram stories. After.
Send a link, Trey, because the story that he shared is like the nuance of the trickiness needs to be analyzed and diagnosed. Okay, so first off, let's just get this on the table. Tupac famously did not fuck with Snoop Dogg right before he passed.
At the time of his demise. That,
yeah, exactly. Snoop Dogg knows this. He's told this story before. Snoop Dogg posts this video that features images of him and Tupac, either real or manufactured, both. And then the part of the song that plays starts after Tupac disses Kendrick. So it doesn't include that. So it sounds, the way that it comes across is like, it sounds like it's this new Tupac and Snoop Dogg collaboration. And it's just like, hold on, my nigga, like you trying to gloss over the whole thing that's actually happening here just so you can show like, oh, you know, Snoop is in love with like NFTs and all this like new technology and all this shit. And so that's part of his brand is like, I'm always on the forefront and I'm down with whatever the new engineering thing is. And it's like, yeah, I get that, but slow your roll, my nigga. Like, and we love you. And we respect you and we appreciate everything that you've done, but like slow your roll, OG, because this shit ain't it. You feel me? Like, and you can say that you support Drake even, but it's like the fact that this nigga didn't rock with you and you putting this up and like blasting it on some like this is official. I just don't like that stamp. That's just all I'm gonna say. I don't like that stamp.
How does everybody else feel? But I don't know. Like, I'm just learning about it, so I don't know how I would feel. But how do y'all feel about that?
I think Snoop could do what he want, man. This shit ain't that serious.
But that's a general consensus, is that he could do what Snoop could do no wrong. Nobody has any ill thing to say about him. And I don't think, like,
Switzerland in the shit, though. He got pulled in it. He didn't put himself in. He got pulled in the shit. So, like, what are you supposed to just pick a side? Like, it ain't like, how do we know he rock with Kendrick and them? Like, I feel like
I'm not saying, Chase.
Unite, but niggas don't be united like that. But
Chase, that's what I'm saying, bro. Is that I'm not even talking about the Kendrick Drake beef of it. I'm talking about the Tupac side of it. And the whole, like, you endorsing a nigga making a fake voice of Tupac, bro. Like, that's tricky.
Is he endorsing it or is he acknowledging a moment that's happening on social media by chiming in on it? But he ain't really picked no side. Like, it wasn't like it was that serious. I feel like But Snoop got pulled in, and then he's kind of like the 50 Cent meme where he's like, damn, why niggas, what the fuck I got to do with this?
But that's what I'm saying. He took it a step further. It's not, I'm not talking about picking a side. If he thinks that Drake is a better rapper and that he don't really rock with Kendrick like that anymore, or whatever, something happened behind the scenes or even in front of the scenes, and he's picked a side, you could do that. Like, and literally, even what I'm saying, he can do whatever he want. I just think like the Tupac aspect of it and endorsing the Tupac AI of a nigga faking the Tupac voice and then you putting your stamp on it, I don't think is fly. That's all I'm saying. Like, everything else is fair game. I just don't think that one thing is very cool.
I'm just trying to figure out what's endorsing these days.
If a nigga, like you said, the niggas had jumped you. If the niggas had put it on video and it was a funny video and I posted it on my story, that's me endorsing it. And that would not be cool because we cool. Right? Or was it just, if it was a, like, video that people were sharing, it wouldn't matter.
I mean, I kind of think about it in the sense that Snoop was probably, I don't know, but it would seem to me that he's probably sharing it, like you said, because he fucks with this technology and because his voice is on it too. And that's why, that's like, it's more, I guess, almost like think about it in a selfish way. Like, you wouldn't even consider the other part of it. Because you think about, oh, this is some cool shit. And also,
I'm getting pulled in the mix. I'm popping.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
But so on the chess move for Drake, that's what makes it even better for him, right? Is that he kind of knows that niggas operate and move like this in a way of like, oh, you've included me and like people are playing this and niggas like it and blah, blah, blah. And like, again, from a chess move, again, WWE, like, wrestling, niggas switching sides on the tag team match, like, genius. You know what I'm saying? And he got that off. I'm just, as a objective observer of like the whole totality on the macro of everything, with, like I said, with the Tupac angle, I just feel like Tupac's thing is being misused, and this, and the stamp that Snoop Dogg put on it makes it kind of ugly to me, but Drake's one.
Y'all niggas really love Pac, man. These niggas love Pac, man. All these West Coast niggas, man. Where Tinsley at? We gotta get Tinsley back on.
I'm not gonna fight it.
Hey, back in the day, we would bring Tinsley on and the niggas would, like, jumping 5-on-1, like, yo, Pac sucks. The nigga was like fighting for his life and shit. Now this whole pod is a bunch of Pac fans.
I wish Glasses was here, but Glasses was commuting from Atlanta. But I will say that I didn't feel a way about it. I mean, I'm looking at it like, obviously the clear view on the internet would be like, oh, it's supposed to be the West Side Connection, this West versus everybody. And it's like, bro, we're not that unified. Like, I just watched the nigga Ralphie the Plug go in there and just shit. Like, on Kendrick about the album, right? Like, and it's like, it's so many niggas that feel that way or just feel like, fuck that nigga, I'm better than that nigga, or nigga, this the West, or like, however, because everybody want to be that spot. So when you see a nigga like Game, like a Drake post, or you see a Snoop share this shit, like, these are niggas that still in the mix, bro. Like, Snoop not like trying to be the GOAT or whatever, but he's just like, nigga, hold on, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. So I can't look at it from that perspective. I would, in my mind, Jason, I would love to feel how you feel and be like, yeah, nigga, this we back on some 90 shit. Like, but it just ain't, that ain't the case. Niggas just don't, like I said. And Drake gonna be good wherever he wanna go. J. Cole gonna be good wherever he wanna go. Rick Ross gonna be good wherever they wanna go, because everybody has a pocket where they really fuck with these niggas. LA is just that broad where it's just like, nigga ain't gonna be like, hey, you can't come out here no more.
But I'm glad that it ain't even like that, and that's what I'm saying on no.
By the way, Kendrick album just leaked, and I'm looking at it right now.
I don't know if this is like his album though. It's some other shit, but I'm not saying that the West Coast needs to be unified. Niggas need to stand arm by arm, blood and crypt, to defend the West Coast. It's like, nah. And Kendrick has obviously taken the isolationist approach. Like, if we get into like war tactics and all this, like, Kendrick and the whole PG Lang and all that shit, like, he was with TDE, and he decided to even isolate himself even more. They was already an isolationist crew when it was just them. So this is how Kendrick moves. So I'm not surprised that niggas isn't in a rush to throw their arm around, bro. You feel me? Like, he moves by himself. That's how he wants to get down. So he knows that. So he's got to live out that tactic. You feel me? And Drake is a nigga who smiles in niggas' faces and shakes niggas' hands and makes songs with niggas and do all of that. So, like, that's his tactic. And niggas, we're seeing, like, two different generals, how they go about war. So, like, I'm not expecting everybody to be like, West Coast, Kendrick, stand up. It's like, nigga, he never was riding for niggas. Like, that's not how it's going to go down.
I get what you're saying, Jason, and I understand your perspective as far as Pac and Snoop, you know, how they weren't, you know, on whatever terms, you know, when they wasn't fucking with each other, when, you know, when Pac was not around. But I'm with Chase. I just don't think it's that deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, to add a little joke to it, like, I think it's me. I think niggas just love Pac and, like, anything involving fucking Pac, like, niggas is, you know what I mean? It's a touchy subject because it's Pac, but at the end of the day, like, whether they fucked with each other or not, like, so old now. You know what I mean? Like, niggas done fucking, who's to say that if he was not alive right now, that whatever the issue was, that they would not have squashed it. But at a certain point, the way we've seen a lot of rappers do as they get older, I understand that he's not alive for that to happen. So you don't want to do a what if, but I mean, unfortunately, that's what it is. It's a what if, like, you know what I mean, if he was alive, they probably would have squashed whatever it was because niggas are older and realize shit ain't that deep.
I agree. I feel like if anybody could comment on Pac, despite their differences, Snoop and Pac really knew each other. Like, let's just leave it at that. Like, these niggas really knew each other in real life. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's that serious. I think Snoop got pulled into the shit, and social media gives you a moment for you to be relevant, just like how Rick Ross took the alley-oop and turned it into 4 million views on his video. You know what I mean? It's marketing.
Yo, right. By the way, oh, my bad. Go ahead, Jason.
No, I was just saying that at the end of the day, that's what everybody's doing. Like, everybody's doing this shit for clicks and views and monetary gain. You know what I'm saying? So me even putting my feelings on it is already, like, you know, I'm just feeding their machine. Yeah. You feel me? So,
well, I'm glad Chase brought up Rick Ross, because we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of Rick Ross's No Fly Zone in Detroit, courtesy of Trick Trick. So it's
shout out Trick Trick, the governor.
That I like. Do No Fly Zones still exist?
Yes,
they do.
Depending on who you are and what rules you abide by, you know what I mean. You can't go everywhere you want to go.
I'm not about everywhere. I'm talking about this nigga couldn't do. He couldn't go to the venue. That kind of no fly.
I know he had like an issue in Chicago too, but the way Rick Ross was talking, he said he could go wherever he want to go. But I wouldn't play around in Detroit unless I knew I had settled the issue.
Bro, did y'all see Quavo show the other day from I think Chris Brown bought out all the tickets and the goddamn wow. Show was like,
nah.
Someone put it in the chat. I'm put it in the chat.
He definitely showed.
I thought it was just him doing sound check, but it was really a show. He pulled the 50 Cent on that nigga.
Right.
He bought the tickets and it was empty.
He bought the tickets and it was probably like 80 people there, bro, from the whole venue.
Chris Brown just elevated 10 points in the beef category. That is amazing. I did not know he did that.
That was a 50 move, man. 50 was the first one to do that shit.
Man,
it was the classic. All right. Let's call that a day, shall we? Thank you. Chase, thanks, Jerv, Jason Madison, Juju, Trey, for joining us as always. Remember, patreon.com/CountTheDings. Make sure you locked in. We are trying to figure out the dates for the next exclusive show. So if you're a Patreon, you want to be able to attend live in person, probably going to be New York City, might be LA. We'll figuring out all those details now, but definitely make sure you're locked in. You got all that going. Until next time, stay black, motherfuckers. And this nigga Jerv is so stressed over the Sixers.